I figured, why am I going to sit like a goof parked and do the duck again? I'll do it with a little music in the background. I won't wear the mask. And I don't know why you people are requesting this, but here you go.
Yeah, I know the dimensions are all fucked up. My apologies.
It's Friday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
You waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Oh, yeah, cream of the crop. Oh, yeah.
Good evening, everybody. In a pretty good mood. Don Tony here, and welcome to the Don Tony Show, Friday night, July 23rd, 2021. SmackDown just went off the air. There's many weeks between now and SummerSlam. We need Roman Reigns to perform in front of some live fans beforehand. Hence, Finn Balor. Don't worry. John Cena versus Roman Reigns will happen at SummerSlam. This is the slow burn, the tease. It'll happen. Don't worry about it. Props to WWE tonight for not having John Cena, Roman Reigns in the same ring having a verbal confrontation. The one thing you don't want to take a chance of is one totally owning the other. See, you could get away with it maybe on lower cards. Other times, maybe if we didn't have COVID and there's a little bit of a lull. But tonight, you wanted John Cena to say what he wanted to say unopposed without Roman Reigns interrupting. You didn't want Roman Reigns cutting his promo and have John Cena with those quick reactions. I don't think Roman Reigns wants to have bullet points on it. Kite Lime. You know, I think we are going to get to 20,000 tonight, everyone. You know, it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to a lot of you out there. We are, I think, 7 away, or maybe even less than that, to 20,000 subscribers. So if someone is tuning in tonight, even if you never hang out in the chat room, because I know the chat room is open just for subscribers, subscribing is free. But if someone wants to become famous tonight and you haven't subscribed yet, I know it's a little bit of a tease, but hey, hit that subscribe button and somebody may cause that alert in the background to go to 20,000. Now, hopefully we don't have people unsubscribing so they could resubscribe and be the 20th thousand. Look, we shouted out once and that's it. So if any of you out there tuning in and you want to take a shot at maybe being number 20,000, I should have took a number for 10,000. But I don't know if we were using those things in the background back when we hit 10,000. We hit 10,000 awfully quickly. You know, the road from 10,000 to 20,000 was a little bit harder. And look, with COVID, I think it's kind of expected, especially when we don't sit here and bitch all day long. Look at that crowd. Rolling Loud is not so loud in Miami. They're not popping for the Street Profits. They're not popping for Bianca. This is garbage. This is sad. This is pathetic. Ew. Oh, my goodness. Coachella. I had to go. I was going to use Live Aid, but Live Aid is 36 years ago, I think. And most of you out there weren't even alive during Live Aid. I certainly wasn't going to go back to Woodstock because 99% of the bands, if I read the list, you'd be like, who are they? So I decided to go, 3 years ago, Coachella, the big festival of music. And who was some of the groups on that event? Eminem, Cardi B, Ariana Grande, Beyonce. They had some classic groups. Chic, Le Freak, Freak Out. But then you go down the list. Vince Staples, never heard of him. Jean Michael Jarre, The War on Drugs, Skip Marley, I know some of you, Knox Fortune, Black Coffee, Greta Van Fleet, Slow Magic, Smiles Davis, Carpenter Brute, Belly, The Blaze, it sounds like an AEW tag team, Rez, Alice Wonderland, Troy Boy, Alan Walker. Now, as I'm going through this list, it's probably some names you're like, you think they got a pop at Coachella? When you have a whole night of events, 50,000 people, 100,000 people, 30,000 people, and you got so many different performers. Not everybody is well known. Not everybody's going to get into. Go back and look at some of these giant festivals from yesteryear and go sit and watch the whole thing, and you'll see bands come out you never heard of before, get no reaction whatsoever. And guess what? When a hip-hop artist shows up on WWE television, I know we don't like guest hosts. I never liked the guest hosts, but somebody does show up. Now, there are some exceptions. Wale and a few others, people would pop. Snoop Dogg, people would pop. But sometimes a performer would come out there and nobody would give two shits about. I don't recall, who was the guy, Machine Gun Kelly? I don't know. I don't remember if he got a pop or not. I know he got a pop after Kevin Owens powerbombed him. But you have somebody come out in the hip-hop community, go on WWE TV, Raw guest host, actor, actress, whatever you want. And the wrestling audience does not pop. I don't recall social media back then, the hip-hop community going, yo, 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 the fuck is up with this wrestling community? A fucking person, he's royalty in the hip-hop community. He shows up to plug his album and everybody's got their hands on their asses. What the fuck is wrong with you wrestling fans? Don't you tune into hip-hop? What the fuck is wrong? How come nobody's having reaction? You know, if I was this guy, I would never... You don't see people in the hip-hop community whining and bitching tonight. Oh, my God. Thank you for me having a wherewithal a year and a half ago to start muting and blocking and deleting people, because they have truly hit the bottom of the barrel, because that's all they could grasp onto tonight. We've had 7 awesome days to be a wrestling fan. You're a wrestling fan. Enjoy what you want. And people are bitching and... Oh, post after post after post after post after post about Rolling Loud Miami having no response to wrestling. God, you are some bitter bitches out there. And I get it. Misery loves company. If I would have done the opposite, I would have probably had 100 comments on this page. Yeah, man. The fucking WWE. Why did they even fucking show up? Holy shit, does misery love company. Wine, 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 wine. Would you like some wine with that cheese? God. I just want to enjoy wrestling. I enjoy what I want to enjoy. Man. God. I will say this, though. I will say this. Now we could delete. I actually cut and paste. I mean, it doesn't take that long, but I cut and paste literally every performer from Coachella from 2018. There was a ton of them, and it kind of like hijacks all my notes. But I will say something tonight about SmackDown that I was not thrilled about. And I think a lot of you out there, if you felt it, if you weren't sure, now you'll be sure. Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn. Great match. Felt short, even though it went 8.5 minutes. Great match. I don't think anybody would question it. Almost kind of hoped that I would be saved for maybe SummerSlam, and who knows, maybe that does end up happening. Take note of this. If you take away Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn tonight, we had a total of 17 minutes of wrestling. I kid you not. Dominic versus Jimmy Uso went about 7 minutes. Tony Storm versus Zelina Vega went barely over 2 minutes. Angelo Dawkins versus Chad Gable went 3.5 minutes. Bianca Belair versus Carmella went about 4.5 minutes. So when you see all these, it took them more time for them to bitch on social media. Everybody who was at Rolling Loud Miami, they had about 7 minutes of wrestling. That's enough to go potty go buy something to eat. I don't even know how you could, like, if you're, like, in the middle of that. I mean, I've never been to a giant festival like that. Back in 1989, I went to a warehouse event. I used to do all those warehouse parties at that time, and there was probably about 3,000 people, you know, and you get your spot. A couple of your friends who are DJs, you don't want to lose that spot, man. And then, like, an hour in, you're like this, holding it in. I mean, I got to go to the bathroom, but you know the minute you walk away, you lose your spot. That's it. There ain't no people, hey, here's $10. Could you, like, hold my spot for me? You kidding me? So, you know, if there's anything to complain about tonight, we had 17 minutes of wrestling outside of Balor versus Zayn. And that's kind of disappointing. I will tell you this. I have a feeling the live fans in Cleveland, I would not be surprised if we find out that they had a bonus match after SmackDown went off the air. If I was fans in Cleveland, especially with the return, and don't get me wrong, Seth Rollins and Edge's confrontation was great. You know, them watching on the TitanTron for a couple of minutes, you know, it's not a big deal. But, you know, you got all those fans there and paying pretty good chunk of change to go to the SmackDown tonight. You got to give them a little more. Now, we had two dark matches go down tonight. Not a good night for the way. Not a good night for the way. Indy Hartwell lost to Aaliyah, and Austin Theory got squashed by Odyssey Jones. So two members of the way lost tonight. The Nick Khan effect continues, showcasing NXT stars on main event, on dark, maybe a Raw match here and there. Toni Storm tonight makes her debut. Oh, my goodness. I saw it tonight. Zelina Vega, what are you, stupid? What are you, stupid? You returned. You returned. And you keep losing. Loss, 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 loss. What's wrong with you? For all those whiny babies out there that used to say that Zelina Vega sucked in the ring, why don't you pay whatever she's getting paid right now back in the WWE? Zelina, what are you doing? You keep getting buried. Your career is fucked. Yeah, it's over. You can't even get a win. And isn't it? She's getting paid. She knows what the WWE deal is. Man, I've been holding back a little announcement. I'm almost tempted to say it here. You know what? The minute we hit 20,000, I'll make a little announcement. It's not confirmed. It's a possibility. It's a strong possibility. And I'll reveal it. So if anyone out there who is, again, live and you have not subscribed yet, if you do so, wait. Yeah, alerts should pop up. I think they should. So, yeah, it'll show up on the screen. And if somebody's 20,000, you will be etched in history as the 20,000th subscriber. I'm excited, man. I mean, when I started this channel 17 months ago, I never expected to get this kind of response, especially when there was, you know, changes last year that had to be done. But, you know, I've worked really, really hard for this vibe to be really, really friendly. Now, I don't want to stay on that topic, though. Let's talk about SmackDown tonight, and let's only talk about SmackDown tonight. And I have to give a shout-out to contests. Last week, we did the Guess the Ratings contest. And last week's SmackDown rating, the final rating, was 2,310,000 viewers. So I guess, yeah, we could throw it out there right now. Remember last week, everybody who was live could take part? The Del Rio card was kind of satire. I don't think anybody wants that card. I'm too lazy to even unscrew it so I could throw it out. But somebody last week, whoever was closest, the first person closest to the overall SmackDown rating wins the Finn Balor card on the left. Here's a close-up of it. It's limited to 50. It's actually worth some decent coin on eBay. If you don't like it, you could sell it. Get some cash. Ah, there we go. King McDowell. This close. But thank you. You know what? Since we're on the official countdown, if we get to 20 before the show goes off the air, everybody who subscribed tonight that shows up on the screen, I will definitely make mention of all of you and list you on the synopsis later. So, Keenan, your name will not be left in vain. But thank you. Thank you, my friend. So, We did that contest last week, and remember I said clearly, if you put multiple guesses, I got to take your first one. And man, was this a hard contest to review, because someone almost nailed the rating to the T within 5,000. And I scroll down the list and I see that they put 2, 3, 4 entries. Now, look, if the closest rating was their first guess, yeah, they win. But what happened was somebody put 2.7 million and then later put 2.4 and then put 2.3. So when I'm going down the list trying to find 2.3 million, I had to scroll up and see if they put another entry before it. And lo and behold, there was like two or three people. So anyway, without further ado, the winner of the Finn Balor sign card is George Burns, King of Hueco Mundo. I was rooting for your brother, but you actually had another guest a little bit higher. I think it was like 2.7 million. And I got to take your first one. Corporal Jose Ortiz. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I don't mean to like, you were never a subscriber. I'm just joking with your brother. Thank you very much. Son of a bitch might have unsubscribed and subscribed. He knows I'm just kidding with him. But no, getting back to the contest, George Burns, that 2.3 million entry was his first entry. He didn't post anything beforehand. So, Judge, I know you know how to reach me, dontony@dontony.com. Leave me your email address, and I will ship this out to you right away. Speaking of shipments, I got to show you all something. This is from Adam Bomb, Brian Clark. I am going to unbox this Monday on the show. I'm going to leave it sealed. I'm going to unbox it with Mish. Now, he has autographed, remember the footballs, the bombs that he used to throw into the crowd, the Adam Bomb footballs? He's got some of them available. And I ended up picking up 3 footballs and 2 sets of goggles. I got a pair for Mish, because he was one of the biggest Adam Bomb fans back in the day. I got myself a set also, and I'm going to be giving away a set on this show in the very near future. Now, I know Brian Clark is tuning in today, because he said he's going to tune in today and he's going to tune in Monday. This box doesn't look like it holds 3 footballs, 2 sets of goggles, and maybe some photos as well. This might just be one set. So I will say this, and I already sent this privately to him, and I wanted you to see this, how fucking cool Brian Clark is. Now, I blocked his address, so you can't see his address. I blocked the tracking number, and yes, I had to use Post-it stickers because I didn't have any scotch tape. How much he paid for postage? He paid $53. So I would get this in time for tonight's show. $53. Because he sent it overnight. I sent him a message today. I'm like, brother, send it priority mail, not priority mail express. Because he spent $53. And like I said, if this is just one set, I get 2 more boxes on the way. Seriously. I could probably get I'm on my way to get an Alexa Bliss cameo with the amount of money he spent on shipping. But how cool is that, man? I told him, I don't know if Brian Clark is, you know, like, and I'm not trying to say it's derogatory, but he might not be very experienced with shipping packages. And I will reach out to him again. I'll just contact him privately. But if he needs any help with, like, getting labels done and everything, I got a discount with UPS because of my office. I could hook him up with some good discounts with shipping, but I just wanted to show you how cool this was, and I kind of feel guilty that I'm not unboxing it tonight because he rushed for me to get this before the weekend. $53 shipping for this box. My brother, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We will open this on Monday. But like I said, Brian, this doesn't look like it fits 3 footballs unless, like, you sat on them and deflated all the air. Oh, you know what? I just realized something. Oh, man, am I stupid. Maybe they come deflated because he autographs them and it's flat. I see, I've never autographed footballs before. I've never even really touched a football that much, you know, because I always get my ass kicked in football. So they might be all deflated in here, and then I got to fill them up. With what? I have no idea. But that could very well be it. That could very, I just realized that. So that's Monday. Now, as far as the Money in the Bank predictions contest, very simple. James Young is the winner. He and Chris tied for the lead, but the Roman Reigns edge match was 33 minutes and 10 seconds. James Young predicted 28 minutes and 45 seconds. He was the closest to that match time, so he won the tiebreaker. And James, I will post it on the channel area, the channel members later, and hook you up with your prize too. So, yes, I double-checked to make sure it was okay to play that little Paul Heyman audio at the beginning. If anybody missed SmackDown tonight, that was Paul Heyman doing John Cena. I can't do it. I tried before in the privacy of my own home. There's nobody here tonight, so nobody here is going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? I tried to do it just like Paul Heyman and could not do it. But Paul Heyman, fun exchange with Cena today, and I'm telling you, that's why even more like, why waste your time bitching about the Rolling Loud Miami crowd? I know it, that rhymes, but still, it's been a great week of wrestling, man. You know, keep the high. Be proud of it. Enjoy it. We're all wrestling fans. But that point, oh, Darren Gordon Hill sort of, yes, you did email me and say you were going in person, so he fucking loved it. That crowd in Cleveland today, I know you have every right to be upset right now. For those that didn't understand the Guardian reference when John Cena said it, I guarantee there were a lot of people out there like, does that have to do with Guardians of the Galaxy? Is he like taking a shot at Batista? Are we supposed to boo? No, in Cleveland, they renamed their baseball team J580 CHP Malicious. Thank you very much, my friend, for becoming a member. Oh, he's a member. That's even better than a subscriber. He's a channel member. Channel members don't... Actually, that means you already were a subscriber, but welcome to the family, my friend. Enjoy your stay. By the way, you know, I told you I want to make the shout-outs and the stuff really interactive from now on, and I'm setting up alerts, and I'm now starting to get the feel of all this stuff. I want to give a shout-out to Edwin G. Happy anniversary. He's been a channel member for 3 months. Brian Becerra, just celebrate his 4-month anniversary. Razorblade, Double Zero, Roger Rubio, and Bourbon Bruce, they are celebrating an anniversary being on the channel as well. So, very cool, man. Very cool. And J580, CH Malicious, the elite, the commander of the Donzel army. So, that's pretty cool, man. Let's get back to SmackDown a little bit. Tonight's SmackDown was all focused around this. John Cena comes out at the very beginning of the show, and he's reminiscing the last time that he really was involved in something with WWE, and that was the match with the Firefly Funhouse. I mean, obviously, that wasn't much of a match. I think Bray Wyatt hit one move on him. That match was all about psychology. That's all that was. That was not an in-ring match. But he talks about why he's back to face Roman Reigns for the championship. He says, with Roman Reigns at the leader of the helm, SmackDown sucks, which we all kind of disagree with. But John Cena trying to get the fans behind him. He says, you know, he wants to know what team the SmackDown audience, the WWE Universe, is on. And a loud, loud Cena chants. You know, we talked about it on Patreon Tuesday. I forgot to bring it up over here. Between now and SummerSlam, which is not that far away, John Cena still has, I think, 14 appearances. Alem Arzate, shout out to you, my brother. Oh, wait a minute. I see on the right. I see a 20 over there. Alem Arzate. I think he is the one. I think he is the one. He is the one. When we go look back on this, and we go to 25,000 and 30, 40, 50, 100, 250,000, 500,000 subscribers, could you imagine those other podcasters if we get 250,000? I think he got it, man. Now, look, it's a little premature because I guarantee you somebody is going to unsubscribe and then resubscribe. It's people like, you know, I get a little tease. I don't mind tease a little bit. As long as it's not malicious, man, I could take it. But, yeah, I think he's got to go into the history books. Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you. Means a lot, man. Seriously. Twix wants a 24-hour show. Let's talk about SmackDown. Then we can talk about possibilities later. Because a lot of you want me to do the sleep episode. And I will do it. I will definitely do it. Can I just say this to everyone out there? Take me 30 seconds. Francine. I was about to tell her story yesterday, but then we got a little sidetracked. But Francine was on Twitch. And Francine was amazed that there were people out there watching some sexy girl sleep. She says, I can't believe there are more people tuning into this woman sleeping. Yes, she only had like a bra and panties on, but she was sleeping for real. And she's like, so I actually joked and I said, yeah, that's a perfect idea, man. I have to go up against some podcaster that I do not like, and I'm going to just do an episode with me sleeping. I'm going to pop an Ambien, maybe take a shot of tequila, you know, just to put the full effect, but I'll keep the speaker right next to my bed with the camera, and I'm going to sleep all night long. I'll get up to go pee. That will not be filmed. And I want to see how many people actually tune in just to watch yours truly sleep. I snore. I might fart while I'm sleeping. And if a super chat comes in, I will have the speaker at the top of my lungs. So when it goes like this. The fuck is that? So that is coming up. I don't know when. God bless anybody who tunes into it. But that will not be the anniversary show. I don't want tons of people unsubscribing. This fucking guy is sleeping. I hope I don't talk in my sleep. So, Cena trying to get the crowd behind him. Are they behind Team Jorts, Cargo Pants, or Roman Reigns? And he demanded Roman Reigns answer his challenge, come face to face with him. Ladies and gentlemen, see, when I talk, you know, it's funny. Over the years, when I talk normal, I get people say, you sound just like Paul Heyman. The way I talk, the way it is, it's just me. I mean, yes, he's from New York also. Maybe it's a New York thing. But I don't try to imitate Paul Heyman. But I notice, like, if I try to imitate Paul Heyman, I sound nothing like Paul Heyman. But he comes out there, ladies and gentlemen, and he starts running his mouth on John Cena. And Paul Heyman is basically saying, like, you know, Roman Reigns can see you, but he can't hear you. And he says that John Cena is not worth listening to. And the crowd starts booing, this, this, and that. Paul Heyman says by the end of the night, Roman Reigns will give his answer to John Cena's challenge. And then out of nowhere, as we opened up with the show tonight, Paul Heyman start cranking out John Cena's music. Like I said, I can't do it well, but do-do-do-do. And the crowd, it was funny, man. Paul Heyman has got it. There's a reason why. I mean, let's be honest. Roman Reigns, back in the day, was never really good on the mic. As his current character is developing, he's getting better and better and confident. You could see the confidence, obviously. And he now with the live crowd, see, I think this is something a lot of people don't realize. You know, since COVID and Roman Reigns' change in character and everything that's developed with the Tribal Chief, this is only the beginning of him interacting with fans. Now, yes, you knew we were getting the what chance. We got it a week ago. A lot of old chants are going to return. People are going to have fun. And they're trying to get into the head. Marvin Law, much love, my friend. Marvin Law, you will be part of the list tonight also. Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I know it's one still says 99 and the other one still says 20. The one on the left is a little bit slow. You know, yeah, I'll be a dick. Why not? You know, that's Shawn Michaels. If we could name them, then Shawn Michaels. One side is a little bit lazier than the other, you know? One needs to catch up with the other, if you know what I mean. You know, think Robert Gibson. I used to be able to do that in school. Does it still, can you still see it? Let me see if let me know in the chat. See, now I'm all blind, but tell me if you can see us. I don't know. I haven't done that in a long time. I used to do that to with my mom. I would come home from school. Hey, Ma, look what I learned today in school. And she'd be like, your eyes are going to stay that way. Yeah. So, Sean, update, man. Come on. HBK. Darren Gordon Hill, apologies for the late reply. Oh, they're having private conversations. So, anyway. So, Paul Heyman, you know, getting back to Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. DQ, manager who terminated Ken. That's great. Anybody knows Ken terminated by DQ? Not somebody terminated Ken. DQ terminated Ken is here. Got his revenge. That's awesome, man. For the entire year and a half, even a little more than that, that Roman Reigns is now in this zone as the tribal chief. No promos with live fans. Soccer noise. I mean, you can't practice that. Yes, Roman Reigns has been in wrestling for a very long time, and he's cut promos for years in front of fans. But this cadence, this attitude, though his style, this is something that's new. And he's only now, for really the first time, be able to do this. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. That's why I think tonight, as I opened up with the show, you should not have, and they did not have Cena and Reigns tossing barbs against each other in the ring together. Because if one side rattles the other right now, man, that would be the buzz. Still to this day, everybody remembers John Cena and The Rock, that promo that time. And Cena just, I mean, The Rock is beloved, and obviously he's entertained us a trillion times over, you know, that we don't hold it against him. But we don't forget either. So you didn't want one of those tonight. But, man, you know, Heyman is gold, and Roman Reigns is gold in his character. And you put those two together, that's like a double whammy. Double whammy. So Paul Heyman walks off, and, you know, I'm not going to replay it, you know, but if you look at the last picture when I did it before, I mean, the look on Cena's face, he looked like he wanted to laugh, but Paul Heyman was great. You know, Paul Heyman and Cena go back a while, you know, so they've had interactions before. Wasn't Cena originally started the Walrus thing? Maybe, maybe not. Finn Balor defeating Sami Zayn. Enjoyed the match. Man, did 9 minutes fly by. That match felt shorter than what it was. I would have loved to see them go even longer. But I would have loved for this feud to continue. I mean, early match, but look, what a way to open up SmackDown. I was thinking about social media. I'm like, oh, it would be interesting if Sami Zayn beats Finn Balor. I wonder what people are going to say online. They got their balls in a bunch because Keith Lee lost to Bobby Lashley. Relax. Relax. Keith Lee will be fine. I know, you know, we're in this world of immediate gratification. You know, this person returns, should win every match. This person's returning. You know, you got to work your way back up. You got to work your way back up. Ah, much love, Jay Carlos, my friend. Thank you so much. People see it on the screen in a couple of moments. But this is just a guess. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. It'll come. It'll come. What'd you think of Roman Reigns with the missionary position tonight. Every night, missionary position, every night. For you newer friends out there, wow, it's very late with the reaction. I got to check this Streamlabs stuff. A little late with that stuff. It's all good. It'll come. But here's a fact for all of you that enjoy Mish and I doing breakfast soup, or maybe you enjoy wrestling soup that he does with Joey Numbers. Back in the day, Mish had something called the missionary position. And pretty sure it was a podcast. I don't think it was a blog, because I don't recall missionary actually writing. Oh, that's pretty weird. I wonder why Jake Carlos didn't pop up. That's okay. When that happens, I do this. We leave that up there for a little bit. Thank you, Jake Carlos, my brother. There we go. Wow, that was a little late. Yeah. Look at Xavier Woods. I tried to do it with my tongue. My tongue hurts now. I'm like, that alert's a little bit too long. Thank you, my brother. Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn tonight. Awesome match. Sami Zayn loses nothing by losing this match today. It's great to see Finn Balor back. You know, WWE held back a bunch of people because of the return to live fans. It's not just live fans attending. This is millions of dollars of ticket sales. This is advertising. This is merchandising. Merchandising. That's how you say it. You know, we order on WWE Shop, but you go to live events, you got 10, 15,000 people in attendance, especially kids. I mean, I know a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Dad, can I have a T-shirt? And the shirts are more expensive than what they were before. They're like $27 now instead of $20. Dad, can I have a photo? Dad, equal opportunity. Ma, can I have a shirt? Ma. Oh my God, WWE's cleaning house with merchandise right now in the shows. You know, they're going to make so much coin off of this. This is a big deal, you know. So they held back on some returns, some debuts. Finn Balor making his return in the ring. Hasn't been on SmackDown for 2 years in a winning effort against Sami Zayn. You know, I wonder if Sami Zayn, they're going to just tread water until the draft. I wouldn't be surprised if Sami Zayn goes back to Raw. You know, Sami Zayn is one of those stars that you keep him on SmackDown for a year or two, and he does what he does, which is great. Then you bring him on Raw for a year or two. He does what he does. And then you bring him back. Like, you could rotate back and forth with some guys. Kevin Owens is another one. But Kevin Owens on SmackDown, I think, is a great fit right now. So I don't think you change. My God, Cesaro tonight. Where was that energy? I mean, Cesaro is always intense in the ring. But Cesaro yelling to the fans for a swing party. I'm like, did somebody step on his foot? Did he come out there barefoot tonight? That guy had so much energy. Oh, man. That was great. I mean, I know a lot of people are kind of like a little bit fed up with some of the feuds. I saw a lot of people complaining today because Commander Aziz comes out to interrupt Big E. You got to milk some weeks. You know, now we got to see what Big E does with Bobby Lashley. I still think that's happening. So, you know, you got to knock some weeks off over here. There's a lot of SmackDowns between now and SummerSlam. So next week, we'll probably see a tag match involving all the participants who are in the ring today. Probably Big E, Cesaro, Nakamura, Apollo, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode. That's probably what we're going to get next week. Next week, we're getting Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. You see now the effect of touring and live fans. You know, yes, we're seeing it at home on TV, but for all these fans in attendance, they're going to give them better quality matches, if not in length, but in name value. You know, you're going to still see your random match here and there. And you know what? I'll say this. A lot of us, I know somebody's going to be popping up on the alerts any minute. But Sasha Banks, a lot of us wondered if Sasha Banks was going to show up on SmackDown tonight. I still feel she has to come out and attack Bianca Belair. Bayley is out now injured until early 2022. That's what it looks like. And you need someone to really step up as a big-time heel. I know you have some heels on SmackDown already, and I know some of this I've said before, but Sasha Banks brings it to a whole different level. I am glad that they did not do it tonight on SmackDown for the simple reason that they had Bianca Belair versus Carmella at Rolling Loud. And by the way, that was her outfit. You know, that is the graphic theme for the event in Miami tonight. I thought that was pretty cool to see her with that outfit. But you do that, Sasha Banks returning. Remember the last big time heel turn? Remember when Bayley attacked Sasha Banks? It was in front of LED screens. And if I recall at that time, they weren't even piping in a lot of the sound effects. It was just generic white noise. All you heard was, and then, oh my God, what is Bayley doing to Sasha Banks? Bayley, that's it was not very good. Brandon Jones was at SmackDown tonight, and there was a six-man tag. Usos and Roman versus Cena and Masera. Told you. I said they have to do a dark match to bring everybody home happy. Told you. That was not expected, but they had to. And that's pretty cool, man, that they got treated to see Cena back in the ring tonight. So very, very cool. Don't super chat the result because no need for you to blow fundage like that. But in the chat room, just type who won. I'm curious to know who won. I personally think you have to have the Mysterios and Cena win. Hey, Fabian De La Cruz, thank you, my friend. Putting it over to, oh, Sean, it caught up. That's cool, man. I don't know if I use that as a thumbnail. I'll have people email it to my haters. Thank you, everybody. That's awesome. So who won? The fans won. Of course the fans won, but who won? It was a dark match. I want to know the outcome. Has to be Mysterios and Cena. In fact, I'm going to just say, yeah, the Mysterios and Cena won. I don't know, but I'm going to take a long shot. I'm checking the chat room. There's still no comment of the result. But good. Have the fans go home happy. I'm sure there's some cell phone video of it, and we'll probably see it online later on. No, Keith, I do not feel bad for Zelina Vega. I do not feel bad. You know, I know we jump back and forth as far as the matches. You know, we talk about SmackDown as a whole. You know, it's funny, I have the graphic up, and I'm like, we talk about SmackDown as a whole. Nobody can see me doing this with my hands. But, you know, we just talk about it overall. Look, Zelina Vega is getting paid a decent salary, and she is not one who is in the department where she's got this Jay Carlos, I'm going to whip out some champagne on Monday. I'm going to whip it out on Monday because I honestly didn't know if we were going to hit 20 today. I mean, I would be lying if I say this is champagne, but it's sparkling water. So Monday will do it. Monday will do it. Thank you. Thank you for that, my friend. Awesome, man. I love it. Zelina Vega, you know, her life is pro wrestling. And obviously, she wanted a return. I'm not going to go in the whole rant like before. All right, we know in the end, pro wrestling supported her, you know, only in 180 characters, 320 characters, whatever it is. But when push came to shove, nobody stepped up and wanted to form a union. You know, that's a perfect example. If there was ever an example for you to understand pretty much what happens, the game that's played on social media, is you tweet something that sounds fascinating. It sounds like, you know, it needs to be done. And you get a whole bunch of people. And look, us fans, whether we are in favor of union or not, it doesn't matter. It's the wrestlers themselves. The wrestlers have to be the ones to walk out. Breaking news, wrestlers refuse to work the next WWE show, the next AEW show, the next year, the next there, unless some negotiations to form some type of a union. Nobody did that. Nobody stepped up. You know who stepped up? Wrestlers that make $5 on the circuit that, you know, unfortunately have not had any big career, that being part of a union probably is a big upgrade for them. But all the people that mattered, they made Zelina feel great in the beginning. Zelina Vega at some point looked at this and said, wow, you know, everybody, you know, doesn't give a shit about unions. Nobody stepped up. So, again, until the wrestlers actually walk out, you can't feel for Zelina Vega or against Zelina Vega or anyone else. They talked out of their ass, everybody. Zelina Vega thought that she had all this tremendous support. And all it ended up being was, you go, girl. You go, girl. I need a little more than that, please. I need a little more than that. You know, are you standing with me? Yeah, maybe at Starbucks, you know, but walking out of wrestling? What, you think I'm stupid? I make my money. A lot of people talk out of their ass, everyone. All that support. And Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang means well, man, but you see what ended up in the end. He's good with everybody else's money. So don't feel bad for Zelina Vega. She's got a contract. You know, some wrestlers over the years lose 90% of their matches. I mean, who was it? Wasn't it, who was with Rusev? Aiden English? Who was the one that was on that losing streak that was like 0-300? Yeah, once it became a huge losing streak, you know, you didn't want to break the losing streak because that's a nice public service message to kids. You go around schools representing the WWE, like, look, I haven't won a match. I've lost my last 300 matches, but I still get up and I still stand up and I still keep fighting. And one day I will win, and you can't let losing get to you. That's a perfect PSA for kids. And then he won a match. And then that was it. Remember when he won the match? Curt Hawkins, thank you. Aiden English. The Curt Hawkins. How could I forget? Soon as Curt Hawkins. Remember when he won that match? Remember what I said on the show? That's it. Curt Hawkins is done. Once you take away that gimmick of losing, that's it. You know, and remember, for the first like 40, 50 matches he lost in a row, nobody really gave a shit. You know, but he was getting paid. He was getting paid. Zelina Vega is getting paid right now. She wanted to return. She made the decision. Respect that she made the decision. If you're a big fan of hers and you just hate the way she is being used, that is what she chose. If I worked for a wrestling company and I had the honor and privilege of doing so, and all my job was going to be to get my ass kicked, fine. Of course, I'm not on the level of Zelina Vega or anyone else, but some people, you know, unfortunately, that's their role. And listen, Nikki Cross at one point, look at how she was used. She was the abused dog in the storyline with the Alexa Bliss stuff. She couldn't even get a match on TV. Boy, have times changed. So anything is possible in the future with Zelina Vega. But nobody forced her to go back. Nobody threatened her to go back. She chose to go back. And again, if you want to feel bad for Zelina Vega, feel bad for everybody online that said that she was a sellout and that, you know, she was stupid and made fun of her for deleting the unionization tweet. Those people sound like they care about her. Calling her a sellout. Does that sound like people that care about her? That's where you feel bad for Zelina Vega. But she lost to Toni Storm today in 2.5 minutes. Toni Storm looking great. You know, her outfits, which we've seen before. Michael Cole went out of his way today to say that she is a fan of the 80s. She's stuck in the 80s, and her outfit was inspired by Motley Crue. I love it. I love it. And I'll give you a great example. When you had Emi Sakura and others from Japan go to AEW, and you had some of them cosplaying. In fact, I think she cosplayed Queen. And I saw all these people on social media like ripping her apart. Like, what the fuck is this? What the hell is she wearing? Why is she? What, this is, are you kidding me? No, in Japan, there's a lot of tribute to pop culture icons and history and performers. And a lot of wrestlers do that. Look at Kushida, his tribute to Back to the Future. Wrestlers do that. For Toni Storm, you know, it looks great on her. And she got the win today. She's coming off as a fan favorite, which is fine. You know, in NXT, it just didn't fit in. If you remember, I think she lost like her first, what, 7-8 matches in NXT. She finally got a win and just felt like there was no momentum for Toni Storm. Stefan Wall says that WWE should sign Jordynne Grace. Jordynne Grace, I like her. I like her. She's very, very mouthy. Like, she'll get in your face. She don't give a shit if you have 5,000 followers or one. She will get in your face. I like her attitude. I like her commitment. Yeah, I could see her going to WWE one day. I think Jordynne Grace is one of those women that would be a great fit wherever, whether it's AEW or WWE. You know, she has worked some other groups and she is in Impact Wrestling, but she'd be a great fit in some of these promotions. You know, absolutely. Absolutely. So getting back to SmackDown tonight, let's just get the Rolling Loud conversation out of the way. That is a picture that somebody posted tonight, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, I don't base a crowd on one picture. But I laughed when people online were like, that crowd is not for wrestling. Those aren't wrestling fans. Well, tell me what a wrestling fan is supposed to look like. This was a hip-hop convention, so everybody's supposed to be black? Or everybody's supposed to look like Eminem? Like, tell me what a wrestling fan is supposed to look like in a hip-hop crowd. Why? Because they weren't wearing wrestling shirts? Like, I think some people really don't think before they talk. That crowd was there for hip-hop. That's it. I mean, when you go to a wrestling event, all the people there, for the most part, are there for wrestling. So what do you say? What is a hip-hop fan supposed to look like at a wrestling event? It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense, but this was one of the screenshots from tonight. Really, really awesome audience. My God, for the people out there that try to accuse super spreaders for every event, you see that distant camera that they did and showed the tens of thousands of fans. Somebody said 100,000 fans online. I don't know if it's that many, but for everybody out there that always, you know, accuses super spreader events, you'd see that tonight. Imagine even if they're not hip-hop or wrestling fans and they're just browsing social media and they see that picture, they'll be like, ah! They have heart attacks. No, very little masks. It's like what I was talking about yesterday. You know, we live in a free country. COVID is very, very scary with this Delta variant. If you're not vaccinated and you go out, you have to be careful. If you want to be careless, if you don't want to wear a mask, that is your right. But when the numbers skyrocket and the numbers go high, you know, you have to expect it. Plain and simple. You know, I'm vaccinated, thank God, since February. And I don't feel much of a threat, but I still wear a mask a lot. You got to be careful. Watching that tonight, either everybody was vaccinated or a lot of people just went for a great time. And we had two matches on TV. First of all, Wale comes out first, and tries to get the crowd riled up a little bit. You know, when I say we want the smoke, you say we want the smoke. Ready? We want the smoke. We want the smoke. We want the smoke. We want the smoke. You didn't listen. That concert was set up for a stage. The microphones on the stage. This is another thing that people didn't understand tonight. That concert was set up where all the microphones are on the stage. And there's speakers all around the event so everybody could hear all the music. You don't have microphones on the left side, on the right side, in the corner, in that corner, five blocks away, at the concession stand, by the bathrooms. There's no microphones. I want you to seriously, it's a bad example, but I'm going to prove a point right now. Okay? This is my microphone. I have my air conditioner on every week now, blasting. I have plugins that blocks out the air conditioner noise. If I move back just a little bit, hey, what's up, everyone? It's Friday night. I'm talking at the top of my lungs right now without screaming it. I'm only a foot away from the microphone, and you see how less that sound goes. You don't think that they have all these configuration so when the performers are singing, the loud noise from the fans right in the front row is not bleeding into the microphones? So when the wrestlers are performing and you don't hear this insane or even a decent-sized pop, they don't have microphones around that. Man, I think that's a little ridiculous. Psycho, I have Moderna. I have Moderna. So the two matches we had tonight, Angelo Dawkins beating Chad Gable. Okay match. Like I said earlier, I think the match was only 3.5 minutes. To me, the most disappointing match of the night was Bianca Belair retaining a women's championship, beating Carmella. That was only in a, like 3 minutes also. This was just to showcase, because I had some people say to me publicly and privately, DT, how come they didn't have like some legends come out? Maybe Hogan or someone else. And the reason being is because, number one, WWE's footprint at this event was only about 10 minutes long. Seriously, it was only about 10 minutes long. Second thing is, you want those fans to see the current product. That's it. You want to see them see the current product. You throw out legends out there that doesn't reflect what you see on TV right now. You might get a few people to turn in, but it doesn't help sell them the current product. They see Angelo Dawkins doing a little bit of what he does. You see Bianca Belair, who, you know, obviously everybody knows who she is, and especially after the ESPYs, she's got a lot of notoriety right now. You know, and I think the crowd was into Bianca a little bit. But I don't know what people were expecting. Did they expect all these hip-hop fans go, this is awesome? No. Oh, and by the way, I wrote the name down because I'm not that familiar of him. There was a little issue online tonight. There was a chant that was going on between Bianca and Carmella. And the fans were chanting, we want something. Now, this is a perfect example where I always say, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. When I heard the chant, I had no idea who they were chanting for. So I started reaching out to a few people that I knew who were going to the event tonight in Miami. And I waited about maybe 20 minutes to get one of them responded to me. And they said that they were chanting, we want Bobby, because I guess Bobby Shmurda, is that his name? He was, I guess, supposed to perform. So the hip-hop fans were chanting, we want Bobby. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there got very creative and said that they were chanting this, they were chanting that, they were chanting this. So, you know, whatever. I mean, it on TV, it sounded could have been a couple of things. But for those asking what that chant was, they were chanting, we want Bobby. So we want the smoke was much before that. And if you notice, they had Bianca Belair come out immediately after Angelo Dawkins' match. And it was funny because If you looked at the ring, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford were looking at Bianca almost like, what's she doing? You know, but they were trying to speed it up because the thing is with this event, it's just like a band performing on stage. All right. You know, Neighborhood Bros, you got 9 minutes. Neighborhood Bros, you're up at 10:43. You got 9 minutes to do your thing. Almost everybody out there doesn't know who the Neighborhood Bros are. But at 10:43, they came out there and they got 9 minutes. I'm just, you know, making up a name. But that's what happened. This was just like a group going out there to perform. Oh, WWE? Okay, you got this 10-minute block. And that's what it was. Plain and simple. In fact, two people told me that it was a little tape delay also. So that may actually have happened like a couple of minutes beforehand. I don't know. But that's what the chant was. And maybe I'll do the Riddle Dance Monday, VJ. Maybe I will. We'll have some fun Monday. But we obviously want everybody to enjoy the show, too. We'll have fun, man. Seriously. Backstage segment, Baron Corbin. Oh, boy. If this guy doesn't get over with this broke gimmick, I don't know. Maybe he's just someone that you can never turn babyface. I think ultimately Baron Corbin is going to eat a lot more crow, and they're going to keep this sympathy as much as they did. Now, I think Baron Corbin tonight, just me being a little stickler to detail, I think Baron Corbin had an unforced error tonight. When Baron Corbin was being interviewed by Kayla Braxton, Baron Corbin was talking about how he had to take the bus to the arena tonight. And he talked about, you know, it's smelling like, I don't know, like some cheese and gym socks or something like that. It's a phrase that some people say. But I personally think you're in Cleveland. You want to piss those motherfuckers off. When he said that I had to ride the bus, do you know what a bus smells like? Especially in Cleveland, you should have name dropped Cleveland. Nuclear heat when you do shit like that. But cottage cheese and gym socks. Thank you, Lee. Cottage cheese and gym socks. Kevin Owens, you know, having a little chat with Baron Corbin. And basically, Kevin Owens, you know, is saying that, look, you've been a dick for 7 years. That's why nobody feels bad for you. But you also had Kevin Owens mingling with Shotzi Blackheart. Oh, excuse me, Shotzi and Knox. We got to say it like that. Shotzi and Knox. There once was two girls, Shotzi and Knox. They both would love to have, I don't know, scotch on the rocks. I know you would think it's something else, you perverts. So they shoot the dart thing, you know, the foam hits Corbin, more sympathy, nothing is going Corbin's way. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, look, if any company can pull it off, WWE has a history of getting sympathy for wrestlers. I don't know how far you got to go rock bottom with Baron Corbin, but I don't know if you turn him clear-cut babyface. I would not be surprised if they did something where he got the fans behind him and he agreed to be a little bit of a better person. I want to be good. And then just when we think he's full-blown good, he turns right back to what he was before. And he's right back to the scumbag that he was before. So, look, this is a big challenge. I personally don't know if it's even necessary. I mean, yeah, it's giving him his storyline, and I think that's what some Baron Corbin fans want. But it's a little interesting. It's a little interesting. Very hard to give a detailed SmackDown recap tonight when, like I said before, we only had 17 minutes of wrestling outside of Balor and Zayn. And if you take away Jimmy Uso and Dominic's match, which was about 7 minutes. Take away the first match and the last. We only had 10 minutes of wrestling tonight. 10 minutes of wrestling. Seth Rollins. Oh, did I could have sworn I took a screenshot of Seth Rollins and Edge earlier. Did I? Don't tell me I didn't. I think I forgot to put it on screen. Well, that's okay. I had a nice screenshot, the confrontation with Seth Rollins and Edge tonight. Seth Rollins and Edge had a fabulous segment. Crowd, man, I'm loving that they're giving this kind of response to Edge. You know, you look at 2 years ago when he made his return, the Royal Rumble was something special, obviously. But, you know, you look back at the Attitude Era, especially, or the Ruthless Aggression Era, you don't have too many wrestlers from that era, going back 15 years ago, that still could get a monster pop. There's a few exceptions. But Edge, it's very surprising to me to see this kind of reaction. Fans love it. And that's why I really wish they would have kept Christian. I mean, sure, Christian would never have been pushed on the level of Edge. But I think, you know, there is enough audience out there that still loves some nostalgia. Forget the noise on social media. There are enough fans that have no problem with Goldberg making a return, as long as he doesn't embarrass himself, and as long as it doesn't hurt, it's not at the expense of somebody who is currently a mainstream star. What they did with Goldberg and The Fiend was horrendous. I'll be the first to admit it. But Goldberg, when he returned against Drew, as we talked about before, people lost their shit online, and it ended up Drew beat him in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. So if Bobby Lashley beats Goldberg and it's a decent match, you know, for Bobby Lashley's career, that's a nice little, you know, win to have under your belt. So there are enough fans out there that still like some nostalgia, you know. And I see more and more people posting on Twitter. They'll post the age of a lot of wrestlers right now that could still go. And, you know, if you notice, there are a lot of wrestlers who are in their 40s who are still at the top of their game. You know, I truly believe 40 is the new 30 and 50 is the new 40. I mean, sure, you know, there's very few people where you could say 60 is the new 50 and 50 is kind of old for TV. But, you know, if someone could still do it a little bit, do it now. And not 5 years from now when you do it almost as a sympathy. You know, I'll never forget that gimmick battle royal. But the one, and it was fun. It was wonderful to see Mean Gene and Bobby back. This was so close to after WCW closed down. But, man, when you see the Iron Sheik win that battle royal and the guy can't even walk, you know, it was very sad to see stuff like that. And look, I totally respect anybody out there that doesn't like Goldberg, that isn't into the nostalgia kick. But again, wrestling is supposed to be a little bit for everybody. And nostalgia is a little part of it. And Edge, man, guy, you would have never thought that he was retired for that long. But he comes out today and he talks about, you know, that not winning the Universal title. He brings up some of his history, that he was in the Brood, he was in the Ministry of Darkness. You have no idea what I will do to get the job done. And Seth Rollins comes out. And it was funny. I don't know, the way it came off, I laughed my ass off. When Seth Rollins was like, did somebody just call my name? And Seth Rollins starts yapping a little bit. And Edge is, you know, not the choreographed, will you please just shut the hell up? Because you see a lot of wrestlers that do that. Can you just shut up? Like, it's forced. Edge tonight is like, shut up. It sounded like what a lot of us, but shut up. I liked it. But Edge tells Seth, come to the ring. I promise I won't lay my hands on you. And they start going back and forth a little bit. Seth Rollins making fun of Edge, calling him Grandpa Edge, you know, which that segment was great. Seth Rollins trolling everybody, wearing the, you know, the outfits that I swear, I think for Halloween I'm going to dress up like Seth Rollins. I'm going to buy a really, really cheap, I'll shop in Ethan Page's store, that store with the $15 shirts. I'll get one of those outfits. But, man, I understand why there's a lot of you out there that don't like Seth Rollins, but, man, I am such a fan of Seth Rollins. He is one that I want to see his ass kicked on TV. Like, there's wrestlers, you know, like Baron Corbin. Remember when Corbin said that there's no such thing as go-away heat? Guy doesn't understand. Or maybe he does and just is trying to win an argument he can't win. But Seth Rollins, to me, doesn't have go-away heat. I think fans want to see Edge beat the shit out of Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins will work his ass off. They will tear it up. They may even possibly have one of the best matches on SummerSlam. Will not be surprised if some people say, I don't know, man, Seth Rollins and Edge, best match of the night. So you know they're going to go at it. So they're throwing jabs at each other. And Seth Rollins says, you've been such a scumbag to me that nothing would make me happier than to crush your dreams. 7 years ago, I could have ended you with when he brought back the authority. And at this point, Rollins is getting loud, you suck chants by the crowd. And, you know, they're going to have the match at SummerSlam. And at the very end, Seth Rollins says, this time when I put my boot on your neck, I'm going to pull the trigger. Bang, bang, poof, poof, whatever Seth Rollins said. Really focusing on that trigger thing. That was interesting because Malachi Black told that story a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the horse on the beach that the owner brought the treats in the garbage bag and blew his brains out. Not to that explicit level with Seth Rollins, but suddenly everybody's talking about pulling the trigger and blowing someone away. And Edge says to Seth Rollins, you know, what I said earlier about not putting my hands on you, I lied. And they start going at it with each other. Edge hits the execution. Say that that's 10 times. With dry mouth. And then goes for the spear with Seth Rollins. Runs out of dodge. And I tell you, man, I love that feud. I love how it immediately gets Edge out of the heavyweight title picture. No confrontation between Edge and Cena. You know, I should get there. It's just Seth Rollins was the perfect segue for Edge to get away from Roman Reigns. They did that with Cesaro. A lot of people aren't happy because Cesaro's push, which really, I don't know if it ever was there truly to the level that it was perceived on TV. But man, that's going to be a match to look forward to. I'm telling you, this is going to be, I've been saying it since April. This is your WrestleMania this year. This is your WrestleMania. Right now, it feels like maybe late February, early March. That's what it feels like. And you're starting to see things build and build quickly. And I like that things are building early because for 4 weeks, you know where this is leading to for a lot of people. Man, it sucks sometimes when you go into WrestleMania. Is The Undertaker going to wrestle or not? Is Cena going to be there or not? Is this person going to be there or not? And then you don't find out until literally the week before WrestleMania. When it builds, and you know that far in advance, that adds excitement. Any of you go on vacation, you get married, you go on a first date, go to a live wrestling event, you're going to go wherever, and you know you got it booked a month, 6 weeks in advance, every day that goes by, when you go to sleep, you think about it, one day closer, one night closer, one step closer, one day closer. And as it gets closer and closer, you think about it more and more and more and more. And then it finally gets there. And then as quickly as it gets there, it's gone. So I love that they're doing this now. I really, really think next week Bianca's got to come out there, cut a promo. I don't think she should do what Raquel Gonzalez is going to do or what she's been doing for the past bunch of weeks or even Roman Reigns. There's nobody left. Sasha Banks, I think, has to return next week, in my opinion. When you look at the weeks leading up to SummerSlam, it makes total sense. Next Friday should be Sasha Banks' return. We'll see what happens. So we talked about Toni Storm. We talked about... Oh, let's talk a little bit about Big E. We were touching on it a little bit earlier. Big E comes out there, and the crowd chanting, "You deserve it," and very, very humbled by it. July 18th is a day he'll never forget. Talks about winning the match. He even talked about, like, "I shouldn't be diving off of ladders." And Apollo interrupts, and he ends up getting interrupted by Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode come out. And as they're about to talk, Rick Boogs, Nakamura, and then Cesaro, like I said, I don't mean to be nasty here. Any of you out there ever accidentally step on a dog's foot? You ever do that? Not intentional. You ever accidentally? I mean, I did it once to my dog, God rest his soul, and I felt so horrible after. It's like the loudest screech in the world. You would have thought that you just like did the utmost worst thing. You ever accidentally step on a dog's foot? Cesaro, it sounded like somebody stepped on his foot today, yelling at the top of his lungs about a swing party. Yeah, I'll go to a swing party. But, you know, where's that fire from Cesaro leading up to this? Ryan Armstrong says Cesaro is similar to R-Truth. Oh, about that. Cesaro, R-Truth is an entertainer. Cesaro is an entertainer also, but Cesaro is a really, really strong wrestler and performer in the ring. Cesaro has got some big-time tools, and unfortunately, I think because of lacking in the charisma department, probably has not gone further than he should have. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Dean Malenko when he went to WWE. Only difference is they didn't do the ladies' man thing with Cesaro. They tried to give Dean Malenko a little bit of a personality, and it really didn't work. But Dean Malenko, man, was one of my favorites from the mid-90s to the early 2000s. And it just, I always wish that he could have gone a little bit higher than he did. I have a lot of appreciation for Dean Malenko. But, you know, we end up having this big beatdown, and Aziz tried to get involved, and Big E got him out of the ring. He tried to choke slam Cesaro and Nakamura. So next week, like I said, we're going to get the tag. When they said earlier, when Brandon said earlier that we got a tag match after SmackDown, my immediate thought was, oh, so they did do Cesaro and Nakamura and Big E versus Roode, Ziggler, and Cruz. But no, it was the Mysterios. Did we ever get that outcome? Did we ever get the outcome? Who won that match? Like I said, it's got to be, you're going to have those fans going home happy. You got to have the Mysterios and Cena defeat Reigns and Usos tonight. In fact, I would even go one step further, and I think Jimmy Uso should have been the one to be pinned. Yeah, it didn't happen on televised TV, but with people like really kind of like upset that Jimmy Uso's getting this push despite what happened, I almost feel like Jimmy Uso should have been pinned after they went off the air. Okay, Lee is saying Cena and the Mysterios won. Good. Let me know if anybody finds out if Jimmy Uso was the one pinned, because I almost feel like that's a WWE tactic. All right. I'm going to just randomly throw this out there. I'm definitely premature with this. But since we hit 20,000 tonight, and I thank you all for hanging out, I'm going to give you a little announcement. Definitely a premature announcement. 2 weeks ago, I said to Mish, it was the week after they put me on Raw as the last ever visual for Thunderdome, which was such a weird thing, if you remember. I mean, I've talked about it a few times already. That week, I said to Mish, when we do next Monday's show, when we have a conversation, we have to mention a question that someone asked, and that is, if a wrestling promotion offered me or Mish to ever work for them, on a part-time basis, would we ever consider it? And, you know, I told Mish why. I don't want to get into it here, but we totally forgot to do that. 2 weeks ago, I got an email from somebody that asked me if I wanted to be involved in working behind the scenes for a wrestling promotion, but more online stuff, stuff that I can actually do from home. It would be part-time. Didn't discuss money or anything like that, but I will tell you that what was brought up so far, I joked and I said, man, I'll do that shit for free, you know, because it's very, very little stuff. But the idea of even contributing a little bit, something that I seriously have thought about. So I have my fiance right now putting together for me a little resume, which is not easy to do because my resume involves banking and insurance and finance. But this one is a little bit less professional, but it talks about everything that I have done in and around of wrestling since 1997. So, like I said, what was brought up to me is very, very small. It's from home, and I wouldn't have to really travel. But if I get the opportunity to work even a little bit for a promotion, I'm going to do it. So I don't want to say who it is. I will tell you that it is a promotion that has TV. That's all I'll say. I don't want to overhype it. I promise you it's not Dick's Steak and Wrestling that's on Channel 64 in Abilene, Texas. It's bigger than that. I don't know where this is going to go, but someone said to me, can you put together a little resume as far as what you've done and your stats and, you know, what you've put out there? And I have my fiance working on it as we speak. So in a couple of weeks, keep your fingers crossed, you might actually see a little announcement, and it'll be pretty damn cool. It's going to trigger a lot of people. So, and don't, Darren, if you're calling me a liar, oh boy, do not do that. I don't take it personal, but you know, every time I tell stories, I always back it up with facts. So that's all I'm going to say. But look, if you put two and two together and you see like what promotions out there have been kind of nice to me over the years and ones that are kind of basically like are indifferent or some who have basically called me an asshole, I think some people could figure it out, but we'll see. We'll see. If I could do even a little bit, be a nice, cool little thing to do. It'll be involved writing. Well, oh, I will tell you this. It's not podcasts. I don't think they would want, you know, to meet a podcast. I would have to eliminate every expletive in my dictionary, which I don't know is easy to do, but we'll see what happens. No, it's somebody with TV. It's much bigger. And I'm not trying to knock House of Glory, but it's much bigger than House of Glory. So, anyway. So, next week, we got Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. How we got to this point, Roman Reigns comes out to answer John Cena's challenge. Man, I wish I could play some of the audio from Roman Reigns' promo. For a guy that spent a year and a half building this character and not being able to do it in front of a live audience, to have that live energy, to have that live feedback, no matter what they chant, whether they like it, hate it, whatever it is, trolling him, getting under his skin, liking it, this guy smooth today. And he did exactly what we talked about last week. John Cena comes out. It's like they just put a new paint job on him. He comes out. You would have thought it was 2000. If I wanted to see this John Cena, I would have watched stuff from 2005. Same music, same outfit, running down the ring the same way. And it's just the same John Cena. And then out of nowhere, for some reason, and the funny thing is, you think of Roman Reigns' promo, everything that he has said, especially for the last year and a half, how sexual activities has anything, I'm not knocking it, but when he just came out of nowhere, he said it's like the mission, having doing missionary every single night. Talk about just something out of nowhere, random, that doesn't even make sense with the whole tribal chief thing. He doesn't play it off like he's a family guy. And I'm not talking about Peter Griffin. I mean, what did you all think of that? It was hilarious, man. And I immediately thought of Mish, because as I said earlier, Mish used to have a podcast, and his title was, I think it was either a blog or a podcast, it was called Missionary Position. Man, he should have kept that, and he should have been doing it every single night. There would have been so many Mish shout-outs tonight. Mish, I remember that, the Missionary Position. Not as bad of what my old hotline was. If you want a good laugh, you go on Wayback Machine's website. Go back to 2002. Type in wrestling-news.com, and when my old website pops up, click hotline. I had a wrestling hotline from 1997 to 2005, I think, is when it officially ended. And in 2002, I named my hotline the G-Spot. And my catchphrase was, when it comes to reporting accurate news, I hit the G-spot every time. You are allowed to laugh. You are allowed to make fun of me. I actually had that as, hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to the G-spot, because when it comes to reporting accurate wrestling news, I hit the G-spot every time. It was not a joke back then. That is horrible. If you think I'm lying, go back to Wayback Machine. Just click my website from 02. I don't think I got a screenshot of that section, but you'll know it's right. I think I have a screenshot from when I talked about Paul Orndorff passing. I think I have one handy. If you give me literally 10 seconds, I should have it here. I don't think I deleted it yet. I might have. You know what? You know what it looks like. I don't have it offhand. You know me, if I keep being persistent, it'll pop up. But, yeah, I don't have it handy. Oh, that's okay. Next time. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, 1 second. Checking one last thing. No, don't have it. Sorry. I tried. So Roman Reigns comes out there and cuts a fabulous promo. Cocky, confident, methodical. No interruptions from Cena. Nothing for Cena to throw comebacks to get Roman Reigns rattled. Because look, man, as good as Roman Reigns has been, John Cena, when he goes and battles someone in the ring with a promo exchange, John Cena sometimes can rattle someone. And like I brought up earlier, The Rock, when he rattled The Rock that time, you know, you got to understand something. It's nothing personal between Cena and Roman Reigns. But when you're in the ring and you're doing what you're doing, you can't take a step back because the person you're going up against in the verbiage department is getting rattled or destroyed. You can't do that. So when Cena starts doing what he's doing, if Roman Reigns starts stuttering or slipping or losing a train of thought, Cena is going to see blood in the water, and that's what you got to do out there. So again, don't underestimate how important it was tonight that Cena and Reigns did not clash head-to-head verbally tonight. Cena said what he said early. Roman Reigns said what he said in the end, and both had the opposite. Look, it's like a squash match. It's like a squash match. Roman Reigns wrestles a squash match, can make him look like $1 million because he doesn't have to sell for anybody. If John Cena has a squash match, can make him look like $1 million because the other person, he doesn't have to sell for anybody. So John Cena's promo tonight was a squash match. No retaliation. Roman Reigns tonight was a squash match, no retaliation. You put them head-to-head talking to each other, it could have ended up one-sided very, very quickly. So Roman Reigns basically says, you want my answer? The answer is no. He will not face John Cena at SummerSlam. Basically, the only thing that Roman Reigns did not say tonight, which I think a lot of people would have loved for him to say, but maybe it's just not his style, or maybe WWE doesn't want that to be his style. Bobby Lashley could say bullshit, and he said it 2-3 weeks in a row. Roman Reigns could have just came out there and said, what did we get tonight? We got the same old shit. And those three words would have summed up his whole promo. But you're not going in the vulgar department. Instead, he throws that missionary position comment out there, which unexpected. I don't know why, but it was funny. So then Finn Balor's music hits. Finn Balor hits the ring. You won't accept John Cena's challenge. What about me? And Roman Reigns is looking at the crowd, acting like Finn Balor is way beneath him. And then you start hearing a little subtle Roman scared chant. And Roman, like I said, this is why the live fans were so needed. I love Thunderdome. I had fun. You know how awesome it is? The last visual that you'll ever have in Thunderdome is Deli Man. I mean, that the little kid in me loves that. Haters, cringe. But nothing replaces live fans. And Roman Reigns, could you imagine if those were LED screens tonight and Finn Balor's confronting him? All you would have heard is soccer noise, and all Roman Reigns would have been doing is looking at the LED screens, and you have Ted DiBiase, and everybody's here, all right, everybody, thumbs down, boo, boo. And Roman Reigns would have been pointing to the LED screens, it would look stupid. But instead tonight, the fans with an organic chant, Roman scared. So Roman plays off of that. He's looking at the fans. Me? Him? Scared? All right. Challenge accepted. Played perfectly. So next week we get Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. Do not be worried about Finn Balor. Of course, he's not going to beat Roman Reigns for this championship. I'm assuming the title is on the line. If it's a non-title, maybe you get the fruit roll-up, maybe Cena. But the bottom line is next week we got Finn Balor and Roman Reigns, which is a pretty cool match to see. Get used to it. Get used to this for the rest of the year. The rest of the year. Yesterday, we had a nice conversation continuing from Wednesday about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan to AEW, and even took some calls yesterday about that. You know, once we know, and you know what, some people who I ripped on Wednesday night, give them props today without mentioning any names, but blue check marks who just came out and say, look, I don't know if CM Punk signed on the dotted line. That's cool, because 2 days ago, CM Punk negotiates with AEW, go to my Patreon for details. And what did I say? They got, you know, source of a source of a source of a source of a source. They don't know. And telling people to pay money for something that you say, I don't know if he signed. At least today, they went out and said, we don't know if he signed on the dotted line, but it looks like it's happening. So get used to it. Get used to it. These promotions have a year in it. I'll leave you with this tonight before we go. Not only are promotions trying to catch up for a year and a half of COVID, wrestling fans are trying to catch up with of a year and a half of life. Of life. Me, I got engaged in November 2019. By now, I probably would have been married already. But because of that, everything got turned upside down for a year and a half. Now, WWE, AEW, MLW, Ring of Honor, your local indies, whoever, Impact Wrestling, they're not
going to be able to help you recover everything emotionally, physically, that you lost over the last year and a half. But as far as the wrestling aspect of it, they're doing everything they can. So it's reciprocal. So that's why I say, you know, getting absorbed into that, oh, look at the reaction or no reaction by Rolling Loud. Rolling Loud is not so loud. You know, it's petty shit, man. We had an awesome week of wrestling. From last Friday, SmackDown, the return to live fans, to Money in the Bank, to Slammiversary, to Raw, to NXT, AEW, Impact Wrestling, and now SmackDown. I mean, this has got to be one of the best 7 days of wrestling in years. Before even COVID, in years. Every promotion delivered. Let's focus on how great the week was. Not Goldberg, Cross lost to Jeff, Rolling Loud is not so loud, Keith Lee loses on his... Seriously. Man. I enjoyed myself for the last 7 days. I enjoyed myself. So, look, I know tonight during the broadcast, you know, we got into bunch of super chats along the way. That's from last night. For those that don't know what happened yesterday, I will tell you in a moment. I'll tell you now. Yesterday we did the contest to give away the autographed Matt Hardy photo, Matt Hardy shirt, and a cameo video. And basically everybody who left a comment during the week from last week's show was in the contest. And what I did yesterday live was I picked somebody at random and they had 5 minutes to just go in the chat room and say, I'm here to claim my prize. And I did it all live on video so everybody could see it in real time. And Nir Rofe was the one that was picked. And he had fallen asleep. He lives in Israel. So when I'm doing a show, it's like 4 a.m. over there, something like that. So he didn't answer the 5 minutes. And a contest is a contest. You got thousands of people that want to play. You know, as much as we love Nir, you know, he didn't answer. So we went and picked the second person, and second person claimed his prize. And what did that second person do? He immediately in return gave it to another fellow viewer, friend of the show that tunes in every week because it was his birthday, I believe. Think about that. Somebody yesterday won the Matt Hardy autograph, Matt Hardy shirt, and a cameo video and said, you know what? I want to give it to this guy. What channels have wonderful people like that? Crazy Cruiserweight a couple of weeks ago won that briefcase with a ton of shit inside, and he gives it to AS7607 because she was battling COVID and had some serious family issues and just down in the dumps. So I fucking love all of you that tune in every week. Dead serious, man. That was my number one concern when I launched this channel. Everybody that was in my ear was saying, oh my God, you don't understand the trolling on YouTube. If you think Facebook is bad and you think Twitter is bad, you have no idea what you're in store for. Fuck that, man. None of that shit. I mean, you had people along the way trying to do so. You think I like the fact that I have to censor out my former co-host's name simply because people want to troll or people want to, you know, give bullshit reasons why the show changed over the last year. I just wanted to move on and that's it. But there's a handful of people out there that won't let it go. So you got to take it to the extreme. Okay. Anybody that pulls that? Shadow Man. Got that cleared up like this. So much love, so fly, and happy birthday again, brother. Yeah, he woke up. Yeah, that's from last night. He woke up. He was sleeping last night, but he woke up. Jay Carlos, thank you again, my friend. Really, really, see, look, we were at 20,000 earlier. You know what it is? I'm looking at it right now. We're at 19,998. So it's going to go straggle, one here, one there. By Monday, it's going to stay at 20,000. We're at 20,000. I mean, I'm not taking away everybody earlier who did that. I thank you very much, but now we got to go to 25,000. We got to get to 25,000. I'd like to get to 25,000 before the end of the year. I know that it'll be kind of a hard challenge, but hey, you know, we have some great shows, some great vibes, great conversation, live calls, which we just started. I'm pretty excited. Now we're getting interactive with graphics and stuff. I'm looking forward to it, man. And thank you, Brandon, again, for the info on the Usos and Roman Reigns taking on Cena and Mysterio, Rey and Dominic Mysterio after the show went off the air. And Jay Carlos, yes, I promise you, tomorrow I'm going to pick up my wedding bands. I'm going to put it on the credit card so I could pick them up from the place. And then after that, I'm going to go to the liquor store and get myself a little bottle of something that's pretty safe for me to have on keto. And Monday, I will definitely toast all of you for 20,000. So, and by the way, for anybody who is live right now, even if you're not chatting, if you haven't subscribed yet, you know, we're going to be going off the air, I would say, in about 5 minutes or so. If you want a quick shout out, you want your name to pop up and be a little part of history, I'll shout you out on the description later. All you got to do is just hit the subscribe button and you'll pop up. But do it quick before we go off the air so I can give you a little bit of love as well. But so that's pretty much it. I mean, it was a decent SmackDown tonight. Tonight was about building some storylines. I mean, obviously, Finn Balor getting not a decisive win, but a good win over Sami Zayn makes the match with Roman that much more appealing. But Cena versus Roman is happening at SummerSlam, no doubt about it. Edge versus Rollins is now gone to the next level. You know, there's a couple. Big E is still, you know, if you notice, how Big E never teased challenger Roman Reigns for the belt. And Big E, you know, didn't challenge or tease challenging Lashley yet. I mean, if they don't have Big E show up on Raw to at least even troll, they don't do that in the next week or two, then, you know, they're just going to probably wait a considerable amount of time for Big E with that briefcase because they'll have him cash it in when you least expect it. I tell you right now, I think the reason why they didn't focus on Big E at all on Monday is because they wanted all the focus to be on Nikki Cross cashing in that briefcase. And by the way, yo, very, very cool to see how much love WWE showed Nikki Ash this week. Check out her appearance on The Bump, and she did a couple of other interviews, and she did one interview, you know, hair totally down, and you would have probably never even recognized that it was her. She is a really likable person, man. I'm serious. You know, I said shortly after the Nikki Ash character started that it reminded me of someone who would host a Chuck E. Cheese party, that she's perfect for the kids. I don't think she'll ever get on the level of Bailey with the hugs and everything like that, but she, without question, is the heir apparent to what Bailey was to the kids. I mean, Bianca Belair is a role model for the kids also and everything, but, you know, Nikki Ash has, to me, a more intimate connection with children. And I think that's where they're gunning with this. Some people say, well, no, that character is designed for kids. No, it's not. Nikki Ash is designed for every WWE fan to love her, get behind her. But little kids, more than us, little kids want role models to look up to. I remember, show you how old I am, I remember Charles Barkley. Anybody remember those commercials? I am not a role model. You know, when we were growing up, you know, you would latch on to certain people as role models. You know, obviously you would use a parent, an uncle, you know, a grandparent, maybe a neighbor, you know, somebody, a teacher. But you also turned to people on television. And these days, you know, role models are a lot more difficult to come by. And the Nikki Ash character is for everybody. But children especially need guidance. And you don't want Nikki Ash to be the main role model for any kid out there. It should be somebody in their personal life. But kids need that a lot more than adults do. And that's where I think she fills that. So Bianca is an excellent role model. Absolutely. Look, man, Roman Reigns is a great role model. If you actually pay attention when Roman Reigns does interviews, still to this day, and he talks about certain things, he's smiling, he's having a good time, he shows respect. I mean, they're not going to, you know, this isn't old school where somebody turns heel and it's like, fuck the fans no matter what, and go in hiding and not even, you know, socialize a little bit. You know, on the camera, when the show is on, you know, the tribal chief is on TV. When it's off the air, Roman Reigns is more Roman Reigns. But even off the air, he'll have his moments of being the tribal chief also. But it's awesome to see things like that. So I want to see if Ryan Satin is going to interview Roman Reigns. You know, that the interviews that he does now, with, Out of Character, I think it's called. Maybe he did do one. But I think Roman Reigns would be a fascinating interview right now under the circumstances. So, because remember, Out of Character, you know, you really don't want them to go back into character, you know. So anyway, I think we're going to jet out of here, everybody. We're at an hour and 45 minutes, less than last week. Last week, I think we did like 2 hours and 40 minutes. So we're about an hour early, which is good. You know, if we can keep all the shows like around an hour and a half, then, you know, we can definitely manage this a little bit better. And a lot of you have been asking for a weekend show, even if it's for an hour or half an hour. I will tell you that if that is something that we decide to do down the line, the other shows have to be a little bit shorter. We got to manage the time a little bit better. But, you know, the idea of coming up here 6 days a week or 7 days a week and doing like an hour or an hour and 15 rather than cram it up into five shows, I'm down with that, you know, a little at a time. But once again, everybody, I can't thank you enough for your support. And I know we got a little tease tonight with the 20,000, but trust me, I know when we go off the air, especially on the archive, there's going to be a shitload of you that are going to subscribe. And I look, some of you who subscribe, you know, I just want to make this clear. Some of you have an option to keep your subscribing private. A lot of people don't want people to know who they subscribe to. So if you have the setting that, and that's why some of your names probably did not pop up tonight on the screen. If you have a setting on YouTube that you want your subscriptions private, when you sign up, your name doesn't pop up over here. I want to make that clear. So there's a few of you who have signed up tonight, but no alert came up for the simple reason that you don't want your name made public. So when I make the list later, I will make sure that I only choose the ones who have their subscriptions public. And any of you that sign up between now and Monday, I will monitor it, and I will be more than happy to add you to the list. So you'll see in the synopsis, special thank you for these new subscribers who got it over 20,000. And you'll see your name there if your subscriptions are public. So, Stefan is saying DT and Vince Russo is his favorite wrestling podcast. Look, if I ask Vince Russo to do an episode with me, Vince Russo will say yes. It was teased a couple of years ago. And, you know, I had said on Twitter at that time, if we get 500 likes, then I'll do an episode with Vince Russo. And I think at that time I wasn't even doing video yet. And we didn't get to 500. We got to like 430. And I didn't do it. And a lot of people like, man, that's fucked up. I'm like, no, man, 500 or nothing. Now we don't have to play like that. So believe me, a couple of days ago, for some of you that aren't aware, Joe Cronin reached out. Good guy. Never said anything bad about him on these shows. You know, I'll know that. Trust me, if I said something bad about him, there's a lot of you out there, let's be honest, that would have ran to him and said, did you hear what DT said about you tonight? I show love for him, JD and Jason and others. We don't agree on everything that we talk about, but, you know, I have respect for all those guys. They work their asses off. They don't take shortcuts. But he reached out and wanted to do something. So he and I are going to do a home and home soon. I'm going to appear on his show, and he's going to appear on mine. I do have a graphic set up with two boxes. So, you know, we can do some collabs. So Vince Russo coming on an episode, I would say consider it done. You know, I just, like I said, I don't want to bring him on and just have the usual interview, like, you know, what do you have to say about Meltzer or Cornette, or what was it like in WCW? I'm not doing any of that. We're going to talk about probably the current state of wrestling, might mix in a little bit of current events. We'll probably let you all choose the topics of what we're going to talk about. Probably the same thing, whether it's Cronin, I want to bring on Connor that does OKFabe. Mish, obviously, you know, would love to do some, you know, additional stuff. And, you know, we'll see. You know, like I said, if JD wants to do something, a home at home, or it's, I'd love to do that with him. Jason, too, absolutely. And there's a lot of other shows out there. Lee, RCWR, wants to do something. So I definitely want to do it. It's just there are some names out there, and I'm just going to be straight out. They want me to, like, go up to them and ring their doorbell and say, would you like to do a show together? I'm like, man, you know, like, there's some egos that really, I don't need to feed egos like that. You know, we want to do a little bit of podcast together, an episode or two. Let's do it and have fun. And it's not about stealing people from others. There's some shows out there that will not mention you, I, because they think that if you tune into these shows, you'll never go back to them. There's some shows out there that are very, very angry when they see some of you over here instead of their show when they're live. And God forbid you super chat. Oh, my God. It's like you took away their livelihood. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to ride the bus with Baron Corbin. Man, doing this since 97. I am the Podfather. Conrad is the Podfather, too. But for me, you know, I think I'm truly the Podfather. He is obviously bigger. You know, what people need to remember, when it comes to the Mafia, there were more than one Godfather. You had the Bonanno crime family. You had this crime family. You had this crime family. You had a lot of different crime families. The Lucchese's. So there is room for more than one Godfather. So yes, Conrad Thompson is the Podfather. But so is yours truly. So... And yes, yes, someone is asking. I would absolutely love to bring on Conrad. I'm one of the few that appreciates Conrad's hustle. You know, we did Podcasters Row that time. We'll say this before I go. We're not at 2 hours yet, so I'll say this for 2-3 minutes. It was controversial. I debated Mish pretty deep about this. When they did the first convention and Conrad had Podcasters Row, and it was a row of podcasters, and all the wrestlers would stop by and do interviews and stuff. Conrad reached out to me and said, DT, would you like to come to the convention? And I said, if I could get out of work, I'd love to. He says, I want you to be in Podcasters Row, and you do not have to pay anything. He says, as long as you could get down here, he says, consider it done. Now, other podcasters out there, they had to pay, I think, up to $2,000 to be part of Podcasters Row. And I had a big, deep debate with Mish over this. A lot of people out there thought that that was fucked up. And StarCast, the first one, I thought it was fine. And the reason being, and I compared it to Frank Goodman, the Mass Maniac that I used to work for, who did shows back in the day. He would have major names on the card. And then you would have these students and people who would never make it on an event who wanted to be part of the show. And what he would say is, all right, if you want to be part of the show, you got to sell 100 tickets. And I don't care if you sell them or not. By this date, you have to give me the money. And then you would have like a battle royal with people that really like sucked away to $110, you know, that it did. And Travis Blackchurch, just Google him. To me, he's the poster child of that. And you would have wrestlers pay $500, $1,000. There was one wrestler that paid, I think, $5,000. No. I think it was $2,000. I think to wrestle King Kong Bundy. I don't remember who it was. But if you want to be part of something like that and you don't have a big following, you got 50 people who tune in, you're going to take a seat. Then you have to obviously make it up in a different way. If you can't get a ton of eyes on that product, then you have to do it financially instead. And nobody twisted anybody's arm to be on Podcasters Row. If somebody wanted to pay Conrad $1,000 or $2,000 to be on that row and they only had 40 listeners, you know, that's on them, you know. But I always felt it was perfectly fine. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't go because I had to work. But, you know, I appreciate everything Conrad does. I would definitely love to do something with him. But I don't want to do collaborations with anyone. I don't want to bring anyone on as a guest and have nothing to talk about. Like, you see me, you know, my conversations are not your usual conversations. You know, even when you go back and you check out the New Jack stuff and other stuff, like, you didn't sit here, oh, what was it like fighting Vic Grimes? It was, that's not the way it goes. So we do it. It's going to be more of just casual conversation, but we have plenty of time. We have plenty of time. So anyway, everyone, I got to give a shout out to Nier. So he just sent in this comment. Send the Constellation Prize to Muhammad for peace. Absolutely. Muhammad, I think, lives in Sweden. And I could ship to Sweden. So, Muhammad, if you're listening, email me, dontony@dontony.com, and I will definitely hook you up. And the consolation prize will not be the Alberto Del Rio card. So, people are telling me who to give prizes to. Anyway, this is what the atom bomb, the football, and the goggles look like, by the way. We'll do the unboxing on Monday, and, you know, we'll see. Like I said, this box looks awfully small to have three footballs in it and two sets of goggles and I think some photos. So something tells me if everything's in here that the footballs are deflated and you have to fill them up with air. So we'll see. I'll open it up Monday live on the show. So everyone, on your way out, if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it. If you like, share, subscribe, hit that like button if you haven't done so already. Deflated. Yeah, Deflategate. Deflategate. Everyone, have a great weekend. I'll be back here Monday with Mish. And by the way, next weekend, we are going to do the next Q&A for the channel members. I will put up a thread over the weekend where you could submit your questions, and we will definitely do another one next weekend. Lot to talk about over the last 7 days, and I think next week it's going to get really interesting, especially with the Daniel Bryan CM Punk stuff. I laughed today about the rumors that WWE is interested in bringing back Braun Strowman. Yeah, that's because the two shirts that went on sale last week. They're a little late to the party. Captain Obvious. They see the shirts on sale. Oh, WWE wants to bring him back. That's where they got that from. So have a great weekend, everyone. Much love. I see you Monday night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.